Hey there, I'm your host, Marcia Hilton. Welcome to Unlocking the Buyer's Mind. When it comes to marketing, it's not just about selling your product or service. It's about creating a connection with your audience. And as a small business owner, you're probably aware of the challenges that come with succeeding in the competitive world of entrepreneurship. That's why I'm here every other week to share my expertise and passion with you. Together, we'll explore the hidden needs and motivations of your ideal prospects, arming you with the tools you need to unlock their minds and win their hearts. Whether you're a seasoned business owner who handles your own marketing or a newbie just starting out, this podcast is perfect for you. So grab a cup of your favorite beverage and let's discover the secrets of the buyer's mind. Hey, folks, and a warm welcome back to Unlocking the Buyer's Mind. I'm your host, Marcia Hilton, and I'm really excited about today's show. Trust me, you're in for a real treat. Now, if you're a small business owner and a DIY marketer or a marketing pro, you've hit the jackpot. This is your go-to hub for the latest and greatest in marketing strategies. We're all about helping you get inside your buyer's mind, using your marketing data to the max, and building robust strategies that your customers will love. Today, we're taking an exciting little detour into the wild and wonderful world of user experience, or UX. We've got a bit of everything on the show. So today, we're focusing on why user experience is so vital for your small business marketing strategies. And I've roped in just the right guy to guide us through this maze. Joining me is the fantastically talented Don Hill. He's a UX wizard working his magic with brands that span the globe. Don, welcome to Unlocking the Buyer's Mind.
Thank you, Marcia. It's an honor and a pleasure being here speaking with you and your listeners today. I certainly hope that my experience and insights in the industry can translate into helping others with their goals so that they may achieve world dominance or at least a better business brand.
I'm sure it'll help, Don. I've talked to you many times, and the things you've had to share with me have been mind-blowing. So it's super to have you here with us. And I'm going to just dive in. Like, what led you, Don, to becoming a UX expert?
Oh, goodness. So many things, Marcia. I started my career after getting my bachelor's degree as a professional counselor. And I worked in that area for a decade, and I really loved helping people to improve their lives and to live better. But unfortunately, as is with many of the similar type of fields, it's high stress and low reward. So I taught myself, went back to a journalism background, and decided to become a web designer and developer during the dot-com boom of the 90s. Over time, when I was in that field, I noticed that it was all about being flashy, making things look cool. Mm-hmm. And there was not an emphasis on usability or familiarity. And I would bring that up, and I would even have the CEOs telling me, we don't care about that. It's just got to look good because that's what we're about. And I didn't like that. So I learned all about this thing called usability and user experience and was enamored. So that was a great way for me to marry my former careers together into what I'm doing now. User experience, UX, is all about empathy. It's all about understanding what makes digital usage better and how to better access it and make people happy, because a happy person will become a happy purchaser or service subscriber or things of that nature.
That is exactly it. People forget how important it is on the buyer journey for people to feel good feelings and have good vibes and have good experiences so that they'll want to come back, and it'll help guide them to make a purchase. So that's quite a journey, though. I think your psychology background plus user experience was an exact fit. It's the right fit. So this is the right role for you, I have no doubt. But in your role, I'm sure you've helped businesses captivate and retain their customers. How do you help them tune in to their perfect buyer, their perfect client?
There's a little bit of an art to it, but the bottom line is teaching them to listen to the users, to not just formulate what's important to them. There's something in my field called the false consensus effect, that I live and breathe by, and that is, you are not the user. You might be a user, but not the consummate user. So what you think and what your experiences are do not necessarily translate to what all your different customers are. And that's the one biggest thing. If I can drive that concept to my stakeholders, to my clients, to anyone else, I've won the battle 75% because I have them understanding the importance of listening and understanding, letting down your guard and your defenses. If you can have an open mind and be open to thought, you can succeed with UX being your ally.
That is a critical point because we've all been there. I know I've been there. You know, we're looking at something we think, even in the field, we've seen it enough. We have a better idea to some degree. We see the data, but we still sometimes want to lean on what we know and what we experience individually when the data, because that's, I'm sure, what you use with the experts, with your professionals to show them, this is what it's really happening. This is what's going on, you know? But I get it. It's hard to convince those in leadership sometimes to listen to that. But that's some pretty clear thinking. Now, for our small business owners out there who come to a guru like you, what should they know about the process when dealing with someone? What's expected of them and what should they expect?
Well, it rings exactly to what you said. It is a process, and that's the important part. You have to have an open mind. You've got to let down your guard and understand that you don't know everything. There's a lot of things I do, and I do a lot of research. I have to go through discovery, you know, from the ground level up, trying to understand a whole journey from the client wants this type of product. How are they going to go and look for it? All through the pain points or the successes that they achieve going through it. I then create a theory and test it. I speak to people. I have simple paper mock-ups that I will run through 3 or 4 people. And if it's successful, I move on to the next thing. That way I can get good understanding if my theories are correct. And believe me, I actually get excited when I'm wrong because I prove that the process is flawless. But imagine I'm using best practices, designing, and taking it straight to a developer to go through the whole cycle and let it go and watch it fail. Now, imagine the thousands of hours that it took to create this product that if I spent just a little bit more time in the beginning getting it right, we wouldn't have to have all this loss. And I've seen it repeatedly. So it's an understanding. It's a process, and it's not something that's going to happen overnight. If you can handle that and you're willing to take that risk, then you're ready for UX practices, whether it's yourself, your team, or even hiring a third-party consultant.
Yeah, that's perfect. The thing about best practices is everyone misuses that term because the best practice should be exactly what you are doing. That is the best practice. But people have learned to throw that around as the habitual thing, the thing we've always done, right? Isn't that what you've noticed? We've always Absolutely. Done is what we'll do. All right. So that's pretty clear. It's pretty good insights, Don. But what about those brave souls who want to go it alone? So they're a smaller business, maybe a small team. They want to do the DIY. What hurdles might they face in delivering like top notch buyer experience? And what recommendations do you have for them being such a small team?
Well, there's a lot of information out there. If you do a Google search, or even if you use some AI chat tool to find out and learn more about it and just dive into it, you don't even have to get deep into it to learn some of the simple concepts. There's simple things as using surveys and not being biased in it and allowing people to go beyond the yes, no answers and expanding upon that so that you can hear the empathy and learn. If you can get that in person, so let's say that we are in a Zoom meeting and I'm recording it and I can go back and watch their expressions while they're talking, I gather so much more than just typed words. So there's many small things that can be done with UX research tools that anyone can do. Now, it's easier if you use other people with you, but that's one of the hurdles you have to overcome. Is it's going to take more time, but mm-hmm. it's certainly not impossible if you have a clientele that you see on a daily basis or hear from. Mm-hmm. One of the most powerful ones I had was Voice of the Customer, going to Yelp reviews, Google reviews, seeing what they have to say and trying not to internalize it, mm-hmm. and learning from that to formulate a theory on how to improve it. Mm-hmm. So it's certainly doable. I've been a UX person of one for about 4 or 5 different enterprise corporations. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking thousands of employees. The small business owner's at a disadvantage, but they don't have to be. If, as long as he or she can invest a little bit of time in learning a few of those things, maybe a mm-hmm. couple of days, yeah. I think they're well on their way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's excellent. That's perfect. Cause I like to recommend that they set aside time about 4 times a year, every quarter, and just kind of review the data. So having the tools, taking a little time to learn the basics of the tools and reviewing the data like every few months so that they make their decisions driven by data and not just best guess, right? So I think that's what you're saying, like get in there, make some time to learn what you need to learn, and then use what you get. Now let's switch gears and talk about the buyer's journey. From the business perspective, a buyer's journey is a sales funnel. So a lot of business owners are more familiar with the sales funnel, but the buyer's journey is just the sales funnel looking from the buyer's experience. How can an exceptional user experience make the buyer and the business owner break into a happy dance? Like, how does it become a win-win?
Well, a lot of times people confuse UX with conversions. So the more that you have, the better, but that's not always the case. Mm-hmm. So to have a win-win, it's about the experience. Even if you don't get the sale right away, your brand has improved because they remember that. And they'll probably come back, or hopefully will. And I think that's the biggest thing you can do, is to give them positive experiences. Anytime you do something where you're trying to trick people into buying or guilting them or anything else, that's not a good experience. And it feels yucky. And people don't like that. You may initially get more conversions or people visiting, but you may turn them back and not get repeat customers. So that's that's one of the ways I really see that as a win-win.
That's exceptional. I like that, because you're saying, I hear you saying it's about establishing and building long-term relationships with people.
Absolutely.
And I can see how that works. Yeah, you may not get that sale in the moment. And when you're a small business owner, sometimes you get caught up in that because you just want to get that dollar right now. You know, you're not thinking long range. But if you're establishing that relationship, even if that person doesn't buy from you, they're going to speak well of you. And when they do buy from you, they'll become a brand advocate. So they're going to tell all the people in their network about you and your products and how they, because of their feelings, not even about the product necessarily, it's because of how they feel about their experience with you, right? So that's mm-hmm. a good reminder. Thank you for that. That's exceptional. I like that. Who knew that the user's experience and the sales funnel were so intertwined, right? Like I said, most small business owners are thinking about the sales funnel and they don't think about the user's experience. They're thinking about, how do I make that sale? So can you share your most loved user experience tool, or maybe the name of a resource that my DIY crowd could find handy?
There are low cost, and there's many high cost, mm-hmm. but some of the lower cost ones that I've worked with, even when I was just doing some consultant work, there's a Optimal Workshop on the web, if you were to search that up, and they have similar type of tools that you can get that are much more powerful, but they allow you to do more remote work. Now, if I have my druthers, the best thing I can do is observe in person. However, when I work for a global company, it's not always feasible to travel overseas or wherever I need to go to observe and watch. Mm-hmm. However, observation, as long as you can afford it, it's with where the people are and you can observe. That is huge mm-hmm. to see where improvements can be made. I like to use an example when I work for a hospital system in Houston. there are a lot of people looking around confused where to go because this place is so big. It's a maze. There's no wayfinding whatsoever. Started interviewing people. It's like, gosh, I wish you were maps or something. So I talked with some people in marketing. They talked with building services, and we tried an experiment in just one area. Painted stripes on the walls, certain colored stripes for different buildings. And that observation and testing led us to do that for every single building to have unique stripe. And then they can go to a little kiosk or they can get a handout and see where, oh, my office is in the such and such building and that's labeled with red. So let's go until we find red. Mm-hmm. It's things like that. It's not just necessarily digital. It's in life in general. It's just improving those experiences. So I think that's one of the easiest things is observations, followed by what I mentioned earlier, doing things like surveys and just talking with people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's what you said way earlier about having an understanding, well, having compassion, empathy for the person who's showing up for you. And something else you said stuck out, and now it's totally gone out of my mind. But, you know, this is it. Something you said made me think of how we have the opportunities in social media to even use that to show vulnerability. So with Instagram, for example, I think you can now add like three other people besides you being the primary host to an Instagram Live. It would be a great opportunity to say, I'm selling shoes. You know, having three people who have your shoes, taking them out, putting them on, you observing and noting what you're observing and them sharing their positive experience, you know, and it's helping you market, but it's also showing the other people watching that you care about that experience and you care to make improvements, right? So there are plenty 100%. Of ways you can apply this theory. There are plenty of ways you can apply this practice, this best practice. Let me irk you right now, but there are plenty of ways you can do that. If you just sit down and get a little creative with it. So that's what came to mind when you were sharing that. Thank you, Don. Thank you so much. And many of my listeners might be wondering how to measure the impact of their user experience efforts. Can you give us a brief overview of the key metrics they should be tracking and how these metrics can guide their user experience strategy forward?
That can be difficult on a high level. But I think, again, going back to what I was mentioning earlier, you're seeing your customer satisfaction scores improve, your CSAT scores. Mm-hmm. And ways you do that are going to be, you know, repeating customers are increasing. You're noting that somehow. Maybe it's in a spreadsheet or something that you have. Mm-hmm. Again, it's going back to looking at reviews to see, are they improving? Are there less complaints or am I starting to get kudos? Mm-hmm. Things of that nature. That's a great metric. If you have a website or some other type of tool like an iPhone app or whatnot, using the analytics, and they're often either included or free. You get Google Analytics, plug it into your website for free. Find out what those bounce rates are. I'm going to this page and they're leaving and not doing anything. What might it be? And it'll help you focus more on that particular page or funnel or whatever it is. And those are things that can be done for free that anyone could utilize. Yeah. It takes a little bit of learning curve, but not too much. It's more common sense than anything.
So it's a worthwhile investment and it's about watching trends. Right. So it's not like that one review or that unless that one review is really, really needs to be attended to. But it's not just about one review or one web page on your website or one piece of Instagram insight. It's about watching the trends and seeing are you trending up? Are you trending down? Are you getting more referrals trending, you know, up again or trending down like those? So even as a small business owner, a DIYer, you can watch those things, right? You don't need the big
tools.
The $1 million, the seven-figure tools aren't needed. Six-figure tools aren't needed. All right. So, Don, I have a little tradition. I call it a tradition, and I've only been doing it for this season. We're on the show, but it's going to become a tradition. I call it the 60-second scramble, and it's pretty simple, and there's no pressure. Okay, maybe there's an ounce of pressure. In the 60-second scramble, I ask you 10 questions, and you answer them within 60 seconds. So, are you ready to try this, Don?
Let's go for it.
And these aren't work questions. These are more personal questions. So we can get to know you a little bit. All right. And even though I know you a little bit, I'm sure I'll be shocked by some of your answers. So I'm going to try to resist wanting to ask follow-up questions because I'm sure I'll have them. And I would try not to laugh too hard too. But I'm going to set a timer. And because I know I have to ask you questions, so you won't have the whole time, I might give you a little extra time on that. But let's see how it goes. One moment. All right. Timer is ready to go. I'm going to ask the first question, then I will start the timer. All right?
All right.
So, Don Hill, what's the first thing you do when you wake up?
I hit snooze at least 3 or 4 times. I'm not a morning person.
Me both. Okay. I'm not wasting your time. Question number 2, coffee or tea?
Coffee. Not only coffee, but I buy something called Death Wish Coffee and import it from New York upstate. It is good.
I won't talk about what I know about that. Do you prefer city life or country life?
Country life. I notice the older I get, the less I like being around people. I like working with them. But if you can put me into the trees so I can listen to the wind, I'm in my happy place.
What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
I work for a large school district in Houston. And my former boss, when I left, told me, Don, if you don't remember anything else, remember this. Don't take no from your developers. Anything can be done.
Okay. That's interesting. All right. What's the one app you can't live without?
I would say Waze. I like it more than Google Maps or anything else when I'm driving.
Gotcha. That's a good one. All right. I've never tried that one. What's your favorite cuisine?
It would have to be seafood, especially scallops and shrimp.
Okay. What's your dream travel destination?
A lot of people will believe it because it's me, the Arctic. I've always wanted to take a voyage cruise and see all of that before it's gone.
Yeah, I don't know why I just responded like I was shocked by that, but I should know this. All right. What's your favorite way to unwind after a long day?
Binge watch television. That's getting on my recliner, kicking back, and just watching TV. Mindless activity.
Oh, yeah. I get that. Okay, we're down to the last 2 questions, Don. What's the best customer service experience you've ever had?
Actually, yesterday. I went to Popeyes. They got my order wrong. I went on the app, and they gave me a refund for $15, which is twice what I paid.
Wow.
Just on the app. That was pretty impressive. I didn't have to speak to anybody.
Oh, wow. That is pretty impressive. That blows my mind. All right. Last question, Don. Ready for it? You ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. What's a movie you can watch over and over again?
Forrest Gump. I probably watched it 20, 30 times and it never gets old. I love it.
Okay. Thank you so much, Don. So before we sign off, though, I heard through the grapevine that you have a little gift for my listeners. You care to spill the beans? And while you're at it, can you tell them where they can get in touch with you?
Sure. You can find me on LinkedIn. That's the best way to get a hold of me. My username there is XDHill, XDHILL. And I prepared a 1-page PDF to help with some concepts of UX for your audience, should they want to use that and explore more based off of it.
Okay, that's a gift that'll keep on giving, and I'm definitely going to be using it myself. Now, remember, everyone can get this copy by just going into my show notes and downloading it. So grab your copy. It is free, and it's from an expert UX, a UX professional. So, Don, thank you for being such a gracious guest. We've all learned so much today, and I'm grateful to you for making time to share your expertise. And to all you wonderful listeners, always remember the secret to marketing success is understanding your buyer's mind. It's a bit like solving a puzzle, but the right pieces, or with the right pieces, you can unlock amazing opportunities for your business. Okay, folks, before we start wrapping things up, let's take a moment to dive a little deeper. We want you to become more mindful of the user's experiences you encounter every day. Think about your favorite brands, the ones you trust and go back to time and time again. Like, I'm sure Don will go back to, was it Popeyes, Don?
Yes.
Yes, again. And you think about why they appeal to you. Is it their ease of navigation if you're online or getting around the store? Is it their fantastic customer service? Is it their prompt communication? Is it them going over and beyond like with Don? Take a moment to analyze these experiences and try to pinpoint what makes them stand out. And then see if you can incorporate those elements into your own business strategies. That's how you truly start to build a customer experience that resonates. Now, remember, you don't have to go on this on your own. We're here to help you. You can join the community of Buyer Unlocked. Follow me on Instagram at Ideal Client Web. I share tons of great content and insights over there. Plus, it's a fun place for us to connect and get to know each other better. And speaking of helpful resources, don't forget to grab a copy of The Gift from today's guest expert and an absolute gem, Don Hill. It's a practical tool to help you start enhancing your user experience. Be sure to grab a copy from my show notes. I'll be giving it a whirl myself. Thanks again to user experience expert Don. As always, it was a pleasure chatting with you. We're all grateful for your wisdom. Thanks for joining us on Unlocking the Buyer's Mind. I hope today's show has given you some food for thought. Make sure to join us next time as we plunge further into the deep end of strategic marketing. Until then, keep brainstorming, keep learning, and keep unlocking the buyer's mind. Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Marcia.
Take care. And that's a wrap on another insightful episode of Unlocking the Buyer's Mind. I hope you enjoyed the show and picked up some valuable tips to optimize your marketing and maximize your sales. If you found this episode helpful, do me a favor and share it with your friends and colleagues. And of course, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on the valuable insights in our next episode coming your way in just 2 weeks. In the meantime, visit the link in my show notes and grab the resources mentioned in this episode. And let's keep the conversation going by following me on Instagram at Ideal Client Web. You won't want to miss the daily marketing tips and insights I share there. It's like having a marketing mastermind in your pocket. So head over to Instagram, search for Ideal Client Web, and give me a follow. Thanks for joining me on this journey to unlock your ideal customers' hidden motivations and win their hearts. Remember, tune in again next time for another episode of Unlocking the Buyer's Mind. Thanks for listening. Until next time, peace, love, and profit.